Next up, we got Michael Langmeier from Purdue.
Thank you. The title of this paper is Economic Benefits of Fungicide Use in Corn Production, so I apologize for all of those in the audience that are involved in soybean production, but really the approach I'm going to talk about here is applicable to any enterprise. We've used this recently to look at application of fungicide to control late blight in potatoes. We had a paper in Agronomy Journal last year. I forgot the month, but we had a paper in Agronomy Journal last year that looked at that. And that paper was looking at whether we should use an app, or I called it a decision support system in Cornell, or just use weekly fungicide treatments for potatoes. And so this technique I'm going to talk about here is very applicable to that study because it was pairwise. We were making pairwise comparisons, and we were comparing net returns and risk from the decision support system to the weekly spray schedules for potatoes, and we were looking at that in a number of different locations. And so the technique was very similar to what I'm going to talk about in this paper. We'll also use the technique. Stochastic dominance. We've used that to look at late blight fungicide applications in tomato production. It's part of the same project as a potato production project. And again, we're looking at the decision support system in Cornell that uses weather data to schedule the fungicide applications. We're comparing that to weekly spray schedules. And again, it's pairwise data. That's the key to what I'm going to talk about here is if you have pairwise data, this technique, stochastic dominance, works very well for that. We've also used this technique to look at insurance products, where we were looking at different insurance products, kind of an either or, which insurance product should a farmer purchase. We've also used this to look at feeder pig finishing contracts. Should I contract or should I not contract? So the key thing here, using the technique I'm going to talk about, is pairwise comparisons, which comes up a lot in agronomy. And so I think there's a lot of different scenarios where this technique may be useful. Recently there has an increased interest in applying fungicides to corn. Unlike potatoes and tomatoes that have this weekly spray schedule, it's more questionable whether we should spray fungicides at all on corn. And so I should talk a little bit about how I got involved in this project. Yangshan Li was a graduate student in Ag Econ at Purdue University. She's now an instructor at Eastern Kentucky University and soon will be moving to University of Georgia. Kirsten Wise was at Purdue University and actually was responsible for the experimental data that I'm going to share with you today. She recently was hired to work at University of Kentucky, but Kirsten is a plant pathologist, and so obviously he's interested in these fungicide use in tomatoes, potatoes, corn, soybeans, and so on. So this study used experimental data from one of the locations. Kirsten has several locations across Indiana. I'm just going to show you the experimental data and the results from one location, West Lafayette, Indiana, just to keep this really simple and straightforward this morning. So the objective here, not a very broad objective, very concrete. I'm primarily an outreach appointment. I work in farm management. With interest in finance, but I'm primarily an outreach appointment, and so I get involved in these projects from an extension end typically, but I also teach and do research at Purdue. And so Kirsten came to me a few years ago and indicated, let's take a look at this applying fungicide to corn, because when she was looking at some of the data, there didn't seem to be very big yield improvements. And so it was always questionable whether it is economically beneficial to apply fungicides to corn. And so the supervisor said, oh, yeah, we can work on this. This won't be too bad. And so the methodology I use, stochastic dominance, first and second degree, this has been around for a long time. 40 years plus. Stochastic dominance with respect to a function. The advantage of stochastic dominance with respect to a function is it uses pairwise comparisons to again compare net returns and risk. That's very important to understand. With this technique, we're comparing both the net returns and the risk. And so in this case, when we're looking at the no fungicide application to the fungicide application, we want to know whether the net returns are higher and lower. For spraying fungicide, we also want to know, is the yield risk different? Is the net return variability different between not using fungicide and using fungicide. And so that this technique incorporates both the net return and the risk. And so it's more than just looking at the net returns. I'll give you the results here, and then we'll talk about the results. The improvement in corn yield is not large enough to offset fungicide and application costs for this location. That's been true of most of the locations we've examined in Indiana. Kirsten had an extension and research appointment at Purdue and has a similar appointment at Kentucky. And what she tells producers, I've heard her speak many times on this topic, is this result. Usually the corn yield improvement is not large enough if you do not have a disease pressure. If you have plant pathology problems, then these results need to be reinterpreted, and you probably should use fungicide. And so if there's not disease present, the routine use of fungicide year in and year out is going to be questionable whether that's going to pay for itself. And I've even had retailers in Indiana tell me that. We don't push it too hard because we know that there's not in some years there's going to be very little benefit from applying the fungicide. And the fungicide cost, depending on how you apply it, anywhere from $15 to $30 per acre. So it's not cheap. So the experimental trials took place in West Lafayette, Indiana. Nice little map there. What we recorded here, or what Kirsten recorded, was yield, timing of fungicide application, and disease ratings. I do not have the information on timing of fungicide application disease ratings with me. And that's not the focus of my presentation. But just so you know, that, of course, was also recorded, and Kirsten's done some publishing related to those issues, looking at the disease ratings, looking at the timing of fungicide application. Therefore, that recommendation of the disease ratings, or you have the presence of the disease, then applying fungicide seems to make sense. If you do not have the presence of the disease, you probably shouldn't apply the fungicide year in, year out, because it's not going to pay for itself. Now, there is a practical problem with that recommendation, right? It takes a while, particularly if you're going to use an air plant, it takes a while to schedule the fungicide application. So what some producers said, I don't know for sure if I'm going to have the disease, because sometimes the disease occurs later in the season, and so I'm going to go ahead and schedule my fungicide application, because if I do have the disease, I want to make sure that I have the airplane lined up to spray. I'm not sure I believe that exactly the case, but I have heard that from producers. So experimental yields from 2008 to 2014. As an economist, we would like a lot more data than that, right, Chuck? So this is pretty skimpy data, but as a farm management economist, I'm used to working with skimpy data, working with only a few years of data. We used average corn prices for Indiana from 2008 to 2014. That actually biases the results. Those are pretty high corn prices. And when I say in general, it does not pay. It does not pay even with the corn prices we had from 2008 to 2014. I'll talk more about the sensitivity of the results of corn prices later on. The fungicide and application costs were $30 per acre in 2014. We used some custom rate survey information to obtain that. What we did with the fungicide and application costs, we used price indices to create or estimate the fungicide and application cost from 2008 to 2013. So just some backcasting. A very simple approach here. And then we computed net return above fungicide and application cost for no treatment and fungicide treatment. I'm probably belaboring this to some extent, to a great extent perhaps, but notice the pairwise comparison. Again, that this works very well with the technique I'm using, this pairwise comparison. We're comparing the no treatment to the fungicide treatments. I should also say, here I'm lumping the fungicide treatments as one big pile. There is different fungicides used in this 2008 to 2014 period. Some of them were earlier in the season, some were later in the season. So I'm kind of, sometimes economists do this, we kind of lump some of the data together. I don't think it would make that much difference. We've ran results. Not lumping the data together as much as I have, and we get the same basic result. So here's the yield data. I probably could stop here and end the presentation. There just isn't that big a bump in yield. When you look at the experimental yields, the average bump in yield was only 3.5 bushels per acre. In some years, it's almost zero. In 2010, for example, and so that's very obvious. It looks like 2008 and 2013, it was a little bigger bump in yield, but those probably aren't big enough to justify using fungicide in every single year here. Another thing you look at is it's hard to see in this graph, and calculating variability for 6 years is a little problematic anyway. So I had to say that for Chuck's benefit in case he tries to quiz me on that later. But it doesn't look like the variability of the risk is really much different here either. If you had something like fungicide treatment here that gave you higher yields in the low yield years, that would be worth something. And so sometimes when you're making these pairwise comparisons, you see something like that. A classic example of that, I think, is no-till. Sometimes you look at data from a no-till farmer. In the drought year, like in Indiana, 2012, their yields held up a little bit better than those that use conventional tillage. That matters from a risk standpoint, and that would lead you to prefer that everything else held constant, to prefer that no-till rotation. So we are incorporating both net return and the riskiness, where the riskiness is looking at variability over time. You can also think of risk as downside risk, and that's kind of the way I focus on risk. Looking at that 2012 year, it doesn't look like there's much difference in 2012 or any more difference than there is in the other years. And so that's not a positive thing when you're looking at the all fungicide. Looking at the net returns here, nothing real exciting here. The average difference in net return is a negative $12. That 3.5 bushel, even with the higher prices, cannot pay for the application rate. And yes, you can get application rates lower than $30, but not a lot lower than $30. If you use your own unit, it's not going to be $30. This is more of an airplane, applying the fungicide. There's only 1 year here where the net returns were actually higher with the all fungicide, and that was 2013. 2008 was relatively similar. And so many of these years, the yields simply were not large enough, and we didn't have a high enough price to prefer the all fungicide. So in this case, using the stochastic dominance is using kind of a sledgehammer. We already know the answer here, but I'm trying to present the conceptual framework. Sometimes there's a lot more difference here, and it is harder to determine, just looking at yield and net return, which of these is going to be preferred. And remember, when I say preferred, it's from a net return and a risk standpoint. So we use this stochastic dominance. We use Scimitar. It's a simulation in econometrics to analyze risk program developed at Texas A&M University. The stochastic dominance respect to a function, what that essentially allows you to do to look at different levels of risk aversion. In this case, I've looked at whether the preferences are different. If we have low risk aversion, slightly risk averse, and so people don't like risk, but they're not overly concerned about risk, all the way to strongly risk averse, where risk is very, very important to them. And so I've varied the risk aversion preferences of the producer here to see if there's a difference in preference between the no treatment and the fungicide treatment. So that's what that allows me to do. In a nutshell, first-degree stochastic dominance is more is preferred to less. Usually, when you're looking at something like this, both of the strategies would be in the first-degree stochastic dominance set. Another way to put that, that's not very discriminating. First-degree stochastic dominance is not very discriminating. Second-degree stochastic dominance typically is also not very discriminating, but in this case, there's enough difference between the treatments that we can discriminate between those, and we have a strong preference for one of the treatments, or the no treatment. And then I use stochastic dominance with respect to a function, slightly risk-averse, moderately risk-averse, and strongly risk-averse. And so when I do all these comparisons, and these are done one at a time, we run the first degree as a separate analysis, then we run the second degree, and then we run the stochastic dominance respect to a function under each of our risk aversion assumptions. And so that more information can be garnered from that Agronomy Journal paper that looks at potatoes. So very similar approach was used in that paper. In this case, none and all were part of the first degree stochastic dominant set. What that means is we do not, this, according to first degree stochastic dominance, we do not have a preference over none versus all. That's typically the case. It's not very discriminating, as I indicated. Typically, as I said before in the previous slide, both of these would be in the second degree stochastic dominant set, because second degree stochastic dominant set means this applies to all levels of risk aversion. That's a very broad assumption. So typically, both of these would be in the second degree stochastic dominant set. They're not. And so that means that the none or the no treatment is strongly preferred for any level of risk aversion. That strategy is preferred over the all treatment strategy. Again, we've had similar results for other locations in Indiana. So just to summarize, from an economic perspective, the improvement in corn yield has to be large enough to offset fungicide and application costs. You could do this in a partial budgeting framework if you were not interested in the risk component. And I'm actually developed a spreadsheet that looks at this as part of the grant. I'll talk more about that here in the next slide. The improvement in yields and gross returns were not high enough in this study to make individual fungicides economically viable for this location and for several other locations in Indiana. It's very important to point out that this is location specific. If you're looking at areas like, I'm from Nebraska, but if you look at areas like south central Nebraska where they produce a lot of continuous corn, they have a lot more disease pressure there. It's much more common for them to apply fungicide every year. But for Indiana, where we have very common to have the corn-soybean rotation, in fact, this year we have more soybeans than corn. I was just indicating that to Gary a few minutes ago. It's probably not as necessary to apply fungicide every single year. What I've done here, further work, you can send me an email, and if you want to take a look at this spreadsheet, it's not pretty, but it's ready. It's ready to rock and roll. It's ready to use. And what this application spreadsheet does is you enter your yield and yield improvement from the fungicide treatment. You enter your corn price, so you can get that sensitivity to corn price there. You enter reduction in corn price discount. That's probably not applicable to fungicide. If you're looking at some other diseases, it might be. If the disease is more prevalent, you might have a reduction in the quality of the product, and so you have to have a reduction in corn price treatment. And so there is some disease problems where that's an issue, so I went ahead and put it in there anyway. And then you have your fungicide and application costs, and put that in there. That's all you need. Put that in there, and out pops a partial budget. So it gives you all the partial budget does is look at benefits costs and calculates the net benefit. In this case, the net benefit would be negative. And then it also does some sensitivity analysis to yield and yield improvement, corn price, reduction in corn price discount, and fungicide and application costs. There's my website. I'm with the Center for Commercial Agriculture, Department of Agriculture Economics at Purdue. If you're interested in this analysis, as well as other farm management topics, by all means, check out the website.
All right. Any questions?
Yeah.
Put your email to get that spreadsheet.
It's on the website.
It's on the website.
Yeah.
Thank you. It actually is. Just drilling this
button. No, the contact information is there.
I guess I'm not surprised.
No.
I mean, so it's a one-sided tail.
Yeah.
And then when you average up enough.
Yeah.
That tail disappears.
Yeah. I'm kind of developing the conceptual framework here. In this case, it was so easy to figure out which is preferred. You wouldn't need the stochastic dominance, quite frankly. But in other cases, like that when we looked at the potato and tomatoes late blight, there was a lot more difference. We had a lot more years of data because we had simulated data, and so we had more variability. But also, there was more differences between the two treatments in different years, and so it was much more difficult of a problem to look at late blight. There were some years where the decision support system did not do as well in several years, and vice versa, and so it was a much more difficult decision. So I'm kind of laying out a conceptual framework that can be used to analyze pairwise agronomic data. No, this was a single hybrid. She has done this particular location had one hybrid. We have had locations that were more than one hybrid, and it didn't change the results. But yes, Kirsten set this up. But typically, when she sets this up, she's not going to look at she's going to pick a hybrid that might have some susceptibility. Put it that way, because otherwise you're going to bias the results. Yeah, picking the hybrid would be very important to this.
So is this at one farm, it's plus and minus, or is it replicated at each location?
It was replicated.
And so follow-up question, what if you had pre-treatment in a design like that? Can you use something like
that? You could have six treatments as long as it makes some sense to compare them pairwise. And so you compare 1 to 2, 1 to 3, 1 to 4, 1 to 5, 1 to 6. It works very well for that. And so as long as it was pairwise across the treatments, if that was what you were interested in, it would work. I like it because a lot of agronomists I work with, the production scientists work with, like analysis of variance. And I'm a novice when it comes to analysis of variance, but I think this makes sense. Combining this with analysis of variance to me makes sense because you're doing similar kind of comparisons.
Yeah. I'm an ag economist. I do extension.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you presented this to growers? Do you use those terms, first order, second order, stochastic dominant?
No, this is not for growers. and typically, Kirsten was the one presenting this, and all the risk analysis was not presented to them. We talk about, if I'm presenting it, I talk about the risk. I talk about what risk means. It means variability in outcomes. It means having low outcomes in low income years. I talk about it and say it's incorporated, and then skip that stochastic dominance slides.
Okay. I use the term variability. I don't talk about when we say risk and risk preferences, risk aversion.
Yeah, it just goes. Yeah, when we did the Agronomy Journal article, we had to be very careful, even for that audience, because economists speak in a different language, and so we had to be really careful. And and that's why I refer to that article, because it gives a more full example of these comparisons, but also has quite a bit of detail related to stochastic dominance, the history of using stochastic dominance, and gives several citations using stochastic dominance, and so explains it much more carefully than I have today.
Any other questions? We got some time.
Have you been running trials since 2014?
I asked for the 2015-2016 data, and I know they're there, but she hasn't sent them to me yet. Yeah, we did this. I did this as a Southern Ag Econ Meetings paper a couple years ago, and then I updated a year data for this presentation. But yeah, I would like to add 15-16 because two additional years is not going to do a lot, but any additional data we have here is going to help the risk analysis. That's part of the problem. Let me get a little philosophical like Chuck here. That's part of the problem economists have many times in working with production data is the experiment lengths are so short that it's hard to do anything with risk. When you've got 3 or 4 years, what does that really mean from a risk standpoint? And so that's one of the difficulties we have sometimes working with agronomic data. But having said that, as I say in farm management, we don't usually have a ton of data, do we, Gary? 10 years of data is a lot of data for farm management, and so I'm kind of used to that.
So I'm an agronomist, a non-sales agronomist. We get this question a lot.
Yeah.
In the case of corn, we get answers all over the gamut from producers saying, their co-op is saying spray every year, or spray 3 out of 5 years, and even at $20 an acre, application costs are still in the negative.
Yeah. I've even had, they didn't admit it publicly, but I've had people from co-ops, they don't encourage it very much in this region.
And I think there is some merit to having a little early, there's
guys
that have
that
ordered in now for next year.
But there is these high boy rigs that you can use yourself, and so that's what I always tell them. If you have someone do it for you, if you don't have one of those rigs, consider that, because that gives you the flexibility you need. Thanks for your attention.
All right, thank you.